Nerd Soul.
Well, well, well. Lay Ill Kid at One Yo still holding down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell. Let's go, because we got that soul taku, y'all. And we talking about Ninja Kamui. Ooh, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know what? We got a lot of information to pour over on this one. Now, I'm glad that we ain't get a whole bunch of that nasty dude to be licking the phone and stuff. I mean, he got his say. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get into him in a second, but I'm glad we ain't talk too much. First, I want to get into Mike. We get a lot of information, a lot of backstory about Mike, where we show and don't tell. I'm glad that Mike is still alive. I knew he was going to make it. You know, brother going to be all right. He's strong like that. You know what I'm saying? Mike is going to be all right. He was only in the hospital for a little bit. He said, nah, man, I got to get my strength. I get that strength back up. And it was nice to see the team come together at his hospital bedside. You know what I'm saying? Because, it could have easily been up in there by himself, sad, eating Jell-O. You know what I'm saying? Just counting the days. But nah, man, Emma came through and Higan came through. Both of them showed up, showed their support, you know, because they're a team now. Now, I know he was like, I'm still going to have to arrest you when I finish all this. He ain't arresting nobody, man. Look, Higan is a victim, brother. He's a victim. Like, think about this. If somebody kill your family, right? And you kill them, like, you a victim. Like, you ain't, just because you killing somebody, I mean, yeah, you killed them, but I mean, they would have been killed if they ain't killed nobody. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, look, I mean, I know legally and all that, but all I'm saying is like, yo, look, Higan was minding his business. All right. If everybody was sitting at home, you know what I'm saying, drinking a Coke, everything would have been fine. Wouldn't nobody been killed? Wouldn't no killing been going on? So stop. My thing is, Mike, yo, man, I get it. I mean, he's sort of breaking the law. But think about this. We got to go to the root of the issue. You know what I'm saying? The root of the issue is that they victimized him. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm trying to get at. Higan is still a victim, brother. Now, this inside man that we get to hear on the phone. We heard him on the phone last episode, and I believe twice, maybe three times this episode. Who do we think that man is? And do we trust this man? Because I don't know. I mean, the idea is that it might be a past ninja that's been exiled as well. You know what I'm saying? Because there is a line where, what is it? There's a line where he talks about like us, you know, having to stick together, something like that. Something about like us being exiles or something like that. So I don't know if this is another exiled ninja or him just using that kind of terminology to maybe find some commonality with Higan. But hit me up in the comments. Let me know if you trust this voice. And if you think you know who the voice is. At first, I was thinking maybe it's the CEO dude that's just trying to use Higan to cut out the other members of the Insidious Six. And I'm calling them the Insidious Six. We'll just go with that for right now. And I got a reason for that. But I could be wrong. You know what I'm saying? I could be wrong. You know, just let me know if I'm tripping. Or if you're feeling the same way. Like, the Alza guy could easily, quote unquote, like, complicate this or undermine this to get those people out the way, because he doesn't seem like he's a really big fighter. But if he can get those people out the way, then it'd be a lot easier to have two people at the table or one person at the table instead of five other people at the table. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he might have his own plans to like cut other people out, you know, give Higan the information so he can kill the other people, and then he can sit pretty at the end once they catch Higan or whatever. So maybe that's it. I also wanted to go in, let's talk about the other seats, because in the last episode, we just saw the weird dude with a big head and little body. And we saw Master Yamaji. And I was talking about the way that dude was talking to him. I don't know. It seemed like, it seemed like he was above him. But now it seems like these are just different seats at the table, and they all are, I guess you could say, equals to a certain degree, but not so equal that Master Yamaji can't hit you with the force choke from across the table. Oh yeah, don't think I didn't notice that he Vadered him, all right? He straight Vadered that brother. He said, look, I ain't playing no games, back on up, all right? Because I don't mess around. So this makes me wonder how deep this goes, because if there's six seats at this table, and I'm assuming they're all from different industries or maybe different organizations, or at least some of them are, because like, okay, you got the dude from Alza, he's not a ninja. Master Yamaji, he's definitely a ninja. And then that mechanical dude with the big head, the little body, you know what I'm saying, the MODOK of the crew, he doesn't seem to be a ninja. He's more of a puppeteer roboticist or something like that. Like, he's kind of like the evil, I don't know, Tony Stark of the crew, maybe? So, I don't know what other, I guess, organizations or maybe industries these other seats represent, but it does show a more, maybe the word would be collaborative effort on sort of controlling the world from this table. I mean, from Alza City, which is like the most impenetrable looking city out there, I mean, it's not looking good. It's not looking good for all of these competitors to Alza, because they keep getting murdered left and right. And speaking of the murders, like, don't these seem kind of showy for ninja murders? I was thinking that, you know, as far as a ninja was concerned, you want to like kill them like real quiet, maybe like dispose of the bodies, but they be having blood everywhere, like bodies flying all over the place. You know, they even hit the little, the girl, the party girl, they had to go too. Like, they, man, they got rid of everybody. So it seems to me that maybe they don't need to be as silent as maybe they normally would, because sort of they got this on lock with the, you know, with the, I guess with the Insidious Six in control, there's no one that can really check them, you know what I'm saying? So maybe that's why they wilding like this. But it does seem a little bit wild for ninjas, because ninjas, you wouldn't, you want to like kill them and like, you know, dispose of the body, you know, make it seem like nobody ever showed up, like they just like got up one day and disappeared. But maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm tripping, maybe these ninjas like, look, we don't have to do that no more, huh? It's a new day, baby. Speaking of ninjas, we do get some good backstory to Higan, Mari, and Zai, and also Reaper, the Reaper. Look, I was completely taken aback when we see that the three that were before the ninja, I guess the ninja elite, I guess, they were supposed to be the next to rep. Zai, Mari, Higan. They seemed to be like the next, you know, they were giving them the secret arts, and they were supposed to be sort of like the next ones to represent, I guess, the clan or whatever. It seemed like, you know, there was a lot of, I don't know, promise or hope put into them being that next generation to carry the torch for the future ninja society or whatever. Now, of course, the Reaper, he stayed, you know, he's still there doing his ninja thing. But in this backstory, we get to see not only the sort of like the, I guess, to a certain degree, bonding moment, but we get to see the Macaroni Higan. Boy, if that weren't a Mac line, you know what I'm saying? She tried to kill herself to save the mission, and he stopped her. And like, Higan, man, he broke that code for love. But here's the thing. When Shorty said, you can't do this, we break the code, you know, it'll kill us or whatever, Homie said, from the moment I met you, I had already broken the code. Boy, if that ain't a Mac move right there. He said, and a woo woo woo. And a woo woo. Look, all right, look, all I'm saying is he put that Mac down on that girl. Alright, he said, girl, he held her close and said, girl, come here. I ain't never gonna leave your side, girl. He said, come here, girl. I'm yours and you mine. We gonna be alright. The man, look, he held that girl through the night. They shivered together. Alright, look, I'm telling you, you better find you a good one, man. I'm telling you, y'all brothers out there, find y'all a good one. Alright? Hold it tight. You know what I'm saying? Don't let that girl go. Hold it tight. That's all I'm saying. Cause you see what Hagan did? Hagan said, look, I don't care about the rest of the world. I don't care if my safety is in danger. I care about you and I, girl. It's us against the world. Man, look, that's some dedication right there. But that look into that backstory, as well as Mike's backstory, where we get him opening that drawing from his kid, and also how he got the drawing where his wife crumpled it up and threw it at him. We get to see both of them and both of their, respective wives, and how their job or what they do has kind of gotten in the way of that, or has interfered with that, or even played into that. So I like that. I like that we're getting these little notes of their past and how that informs what they're going through now. Even with Mike and Emma, and you know, her still being around and being like, I need you to, you know, stay alive so you can mentor me some more. Like, I like their relationship. You know, and Emma's doing a good job of being like, look, all right, we gonna still investigate this, but we're gonna be slick about it. But all in all, I'm digging this episode, man. I'm worried because we do, I guess, to a certain degree, have to trust the voice, because now, of course, as you see, the voice has led us, Hagan, to Owls City. He done went down below, and homie was, you know, going through all the traps and flipping upside down. Homie was like Simone Biles up in there. He was like Simone Biles with karate skills. Alright? And then their security is so good that a bead of sweat set off the alarm. Bruh, come on now. Like that's some good, that's some top quality. Here's my thing though. Why is your security so good? You know you're doing wrong when your security is so good. Now I know that sounds weird, right? Somebody be like, what you mean? You're supposed to have security. Yeah, but when your security that good, that only rain and air can get through the dome or something, yeah, y'all doing something. Y'all doing something y'all ain't supposed to be doing. Y'all doing more than just like ADT or like a ring cam. Nah, y'all doing a whole bunch of wrong up in there. Like, open them doors. Let me see what's going on. But we in this with him kind of like getting through and finally getting to that gate that the voice said he would open for 5 seconds, but we see the Reaper there, and man, I don't know how this is going to play out. Like, I mean, because I don't know how many episodes we have left in this season. Like, I don't know if this is going to be like 20 something episodes, or if we're fast approaching the end, because I haven't seen anyone talk about any finale sort of talk yet. But the thing that I'm assuming is that we're maybe around mid-season right now, and with us being around mid-season, yeah, it says there's going to be 6 episodes. So we just finished watching episode 4. So now we got 2 left. So it's fast approaching the end, at least of this season, and I am hoping that we get some closure, at least a bit of closure, because there's 6 seats that I'm assuming that he's going to want to take down. So maybe if we take 1 seat at the end of this season, then maybe 2 seats next season, something like that. But with only 6 episodes, I mean, it looks like it's only 6 episodes. I could be wrong. Maybe they're only posting 6 episodes, but this is something that, if we only got two left, it's about to be a wild ride. Even the preview for the next episodes, it looks like it's going to be a whole bunch of blood. I mean, we already had a whole bunch of blood, but it's going to be more blood. You know what I'm saying? Put that blood budget up. So, with that said, I like the fact that Mike gives me Teddy Pendergrass vibes. I like the fact that we got a brother with a high top fade. I mean, he going to have to die, but he got a high top fade. All right, so you know what I'm saying? Shouts to Kid and Play, most specifically Kid. All right, he even got little cuts in the side, you know what I'm saying? He keeping it fresh. All right, and also shouts to the fact that Higan got more burners than Avon Barksdale up in this piece. I enjoy the show a whole lot, man. I'm digging this show. I couldn't enjoy the show more. So, of course, holler at me. I'm going to holler at you down in the comments. Let's talk Ninja Kamui. I'm going to probably talk about Metallic Rouge next week, too, because I've been having some things. I've been watching that, keeping up with that. Some things I want to say about Metallic Rouge as well. But until the next time, remember, y'all, keep your head on a swivel. All right? And the one that you love, hold them close. All right? Hold them close, because you never know. You just never know. So, NERD, SUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, podcast, all that jazz. And until the next time that you had to find yourself infiltrating the underground levels of a highly technical city, remember to stretch first. Peace.